I'm in it for the long run. The minutes and the years. I'm in it for the long run. The hours and the days. I'm in it for the long run. The laughter and the tears. I'm in it for the long run. Even though you're far away.
Well, hello there. This is Jim Rooney, and I am in it for the long run. Welcome back to this series of programs where I'm traveling through my more than 60 years in the musical world, and I hope you'll come along with me for the ride. This time I'm going to go back to the year of 1963, which was turned out to be quite an eventful year in the folk music world. Bill Keith and I had done an album, recorded the album in the end of 1962, and then Bill got an offer to go play with Red Allen and Frank Wakefield. Frank Wakefield, a brilliant mandolinist, and Red Allen, a great bluegrass singer. They were based down in the Washington, D.C. area, and we were waiting for this record to come out, so Bill took advantage of the hiatus and went down to Washington. And while he was down there, our friend Manny Greenhill brought him and Earl Scruggs together. Bill had, as I mentioned in an earlier show, been soaking up Earl's records and writing down that note for note in a system of tablature that he had developed. The long and short of it was that Earl Scruggs asked Bill Keith to come to Nashville and help him with his instruction book with the tablature. And while Bill was down there, Earl took him to the Grand Ole Opry at the Ryman Auditorium. And there was always these backstage jams going on. And in the course of time, Bill Keith got his banjo out and started playing The Devil's Dream. And lots of jaws were dropping, and one of the jaws that was dropping was Bill Monroe's. And Bill Monroe offered Bill Keith a job as a member of the Bluegrass Boys. So Bill couldn't turn that down and went down to Nashville and got in the band. And I decided to go down there myself in June. Robert L. Jones and Jeff Muldaur were headed to Blind Lemon Jefferson's grave. One of his songs was "See That My Grave Is Kept Clean," and they were going to give it a dusting off. And on the way, they dropped me in Nashville. And I hadn't been there a day, and Bill Monroe and his partner, Bessie Lee Malden, pulled up in their Oldsmobile station wagon, very well-traveled car, and came in. And, of course, I was just overcome, really. It was, here he was, right with us, and sat down on the couch. Bessie had brought some mayonnaise that she'd made. Ralph Rinsler and Del McCurry were sharing the apartment with Bill Keith. Del was in the band, and Ralph was trying to manage Bill at the time. Not an easy task. So, there Bill Monroe sat down, and my guitar happened to be out and was on the couch, and he picked it up and started picking on it, and he said, "Now, whose guitar is this?" And I said, "Well, it's mine." And he handed it to me. He said, "Well, why don't you play something?" And, of course, I play backwards and upside down, and I'm not a guitar picker by any stretch of the imagination, and of course, I was just in a total panic. What would I do? So I just said, all right, and I started playing Reuben's Train and singing it, and I got through it somehow or another, and Bill Monroe looked at me, and he said, "Well, now you've got a good lick there. Don't you change it." And it might as well have been God talking to me and giving me a blessing, because it was just something I couldn't really take in. So I've got to play you this. I found this not too long ago, I don't know exactly where it was recorded. It's a rough recording. I'll warn you right now that it's not hi-fi, but it's real. It's myself singing Reuben's Train with Bill Monroe. Tex Logan is playing the fiddle on this, and Bill Keith is playing the banjo. I have a feeling it might have been recorded somewhere in New York around that area. Tex lived in New Jersey. Any rate, I took Bill's advice. I didn't change my lick, and here I am playing with Bill Monroe, and you can hear his mandolin all through this. The balance is in favor of his mandolin over my vocal, which is probably not a bad idea. At any rate, here we are. About that, there I am with the King of Bluegrass himself, Bill Monroe, and it's hard to me to even describe the how exciting that is to me to even listen to it now and hear Tex Logan, one of the great original fiddlers. I mean, he's a very distinctive style. Nobody plays like Tex Logan. At any rate, it was just I'm so happy I have that recording. So Bill Monroe was a big figure in our lives in the summer of 1963. And another person that was just becoming a very important person to us was Doc Watson. As I mentioned in the last show, Doc came up to Cambridge. Ralph Rinzer brought him up there with Clarence Ashley and Fred Price. And we became friends. Doc at one point stayed with Bill Keith and myself. I'll tell you one funny little interesting story. When Rubber Soul, the Beatles album, came out, Doc was staying with us, and we were listening to it, and Norwegian Wood came on, and Doc said, "Those boys have been doing their homework." And he was just a very open person to music. So at any rate, he always said, "Well, now you boys have come down and visit, come visit anytime you want. And so we were over in Nashville, Bill Keith and myself, and he had a break. We weren't working that week, during the week. So we drove over to Boone, North Carolina, where Doc lived, Deep Gap, and spent the night picking and singing and just a wonderful time. And then we went over to Asheville, North Carolina, where Bill and I had been to the Bascom Lamar Lunsford Folk Festival a couple of times. And it turned out that Doc and Pete Seeger were going to share a concert. And so here's Doc. This will be like the first part of the show. And here he is doing Setting on Top of the World.
I want to do a number here called Setting on Top of the World. I'm not right sure where this came from, but it's an old one. Was in the spring, one sunny day, my sweetheart left me. Yeah, she went away. Now she's gone, and I don't worry. Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world. Don't you come back a running, holding out your hand. I'll get me a woman like you got your man. And now she's gone, and I don't worry. Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world. Don't you like my peaches? Then don't you shake my tree. Stay out of my orchard, let my peaches be. And now she's gone, and I don't worry. Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world. Well, she called me up from down in El Paso. She says, come back, Daddy. Oh, I need you so. But now she's gone, and I don't worry. Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world. Was in the spring, one sunny day, my sweetheart left me. Yeah, she went away. And now she's gone, and I don't worry. Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world.
Wow. So there was Doc there opening up this show at Asheville, North Carolina, and in the summer of 63. And there had Pete Seeger was on the show, of course, and there was a bit of consternation about that in town. The American Legion had organized a protest about Pete Seeger, the communist, coming into town and this and that, the other thing. And so Doc, at this point, wasn't a seasoned performer, but as you can hear from that performance there, he was just as relaxed on a stage as he would be on his front porch, and just a very engaging, warm performer. Even just early, very early on, he just had that natural knack. And then Pete came out, and the reception would have been cool, you'd say. It wasn't hostile, but it was just cool. And Pete didn't force things. He just got his banjo out, and he played a little Cripple Creek. He played a couple of banjo tunes, and then he played a Rock Island Line and just eased into his program and brought the audience along with him. And he had just come from the Highlander School in East Tennessee, which was a school, a group of people who were trying to educate the people in Appalachia about their rights and their liberties, and to get them more socially aware of what could be possible in their lives. And one of the main people at that school was Guy Carawan. And Guy had come up with this song that Pete had just learned. And he decided to do it here in Asheville.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday. Walk hand in hand, we walk hand in hand, we walk hand in hand, we walk hand in hand someday. Deep in my heart, Montgomery, Alabama. They said, we are not afraid. And the young people taught everybody else a lesson. All the older people that had learned how to compromise and learned how to take it easy and be polite and get along and leave things as they were. The young people taught us all a lesson.
We are not.
Oh.
Pete Seeger. Now, in Asheville, that recording there was done later, as you can tell, and everybody knew the song and was very much into it. In Asheville that day, this was a slow but gradual and very real progression as Pete just brought people along. He eventually got them to stand. He got them to hold hands. And I'm sure there were many, many people in that room who had not planned to be doing that when they came into the room. And he just had that ability to bring people along. And it was just an amazing lesson to me and a tribute to his great ability. Now, Pete, that summer, George Ween had, the Newport Folk Festival had taken 2 years off and hadn't, the last one was in 1960. So here it was, 1963, and George Ween had asked Pete if he would be the head of a new setup at Newport. And it was going to be a nonprofit foundation, the Newport Folk Foundation, and the board of directors would all be performers and collectors like Judy Collins, Ralph Renzer, Mike Seeger, Alan Lomax, and people like that. And that they would decide who was going to be on the program. And then George's staff would produce the festival. So, and this year, after a two-year break, an awful lot of things had happened in folk music. Joan Baez had been on the cover of Time. Peter, Paul, and Mary had come out with a couple of albums, and their newest one was making a huge impact. And folk music was definitely moving into a new phase. And I was excited to go to the festival because Bill Keith, my friend and partner, was now going to be there with Bill Monroe and his Bluegrass Boys, and this would be a chance for a lot of people in our group from Cambridge and New York to see Bill in this new light. And I'm going to play you a couple of tracks here from this time when Del McCurry was playing guitar and singing, and in this case, Joe Stewart was the fiddler, and Bill Keith was playing The Devil's Dream, and listen to Bill Monroe's break on it, which was just a new tune to him, but he played it like he'd known it all his life.
All right, now it's banjo picking time, and we want to listen to Brad Keith here pick this old timer for you. This is a number that we have on Decca Record. It's our latest release out. It's entitled The Devil's Dream. Thank you.
Bill Keith there with Bill Monroe in 1963, and absolutely at the top of his form. And you can see why Monroe just heard something new in Keith's playing and wanted to have that sound right away in his band. This is one of the hallmarks of Bill Monroe through his whole career. He just kept hearing talent and adding it to his own music. And let's listen to another one from this band, and this will have Del McCurry singing with Bill when this is Del just starting out. And of course, Del McCurry has turned out to be one of the great, great singers in bluegrass.
Now we have a trio number that we'd like to do for here tonight that brings in Dale, Brad Keith, and myself. And it's a number that I wrote entitled On and On.
Bill Monroe with a brand new band there, with Del McCurry and Bill Keith in it in 1963. And that is just so exciting to hear. And this was a brand new chapter in Monroe's history. He'd come through the country music and the hillbilly part of things, and that had been kind of playing out for him. He was having a hard time getting dates and whatnot. And the folk music revival, through the efforts of Ralph Rinzler, were going to make a huge difference in Monroe's career and bring him to a whole new audience. And the Newport Folk Festival was certainly a big part of bringing Bill into this new world. And one of the beauties of Newport was that you would be playing on smaller stages with other performers. And Monroe and Doc Watson met each other at the Newport Folk Festival. And listen to this.
This next tune we got coming up here, there's another one of my favorites that Charlie and Bill recorded a long time back. I don't remember exactly what year it was when we got a hold of this record. But I don't know, I really like to pick this one too. It's called What Does the Deep Sea Say?
sailor boy. Where is my sailor boy? He sleeps in the bottom of the deep blue sea, and he can't come back to me. I stand on the beach alone and gaze at the misty blue deep sea as you hold him to your breast. Does he mention my name to you? Oh, what does the deep sea say? What does the deep sea say? It moans, it groans, it plashes and it foams, and it rolls on its weary way. Oh, please tell me, deep blue sea, is he sleeping peacefully? The wind from the north is blowing icy cold. Please keep him warm for me. If only my dreaming soul some token of love could find. If only the waves would show me where he sleeps, then I'd leave this world behind. Oh, what does the deep sea say? What does the deep sea say? It moans, it groans, it flashes and it foams, and it rolls on its weary way. Beautiful rose one day I placed on a crest on a wave. I said, take it please and let it settle foam above his watery grave. The driftwood I watched in vain, my rose never came back again. So the waves take another message to my love, saying I'll meet him above. Oh, what does the deep sea say? What does the deep sea say? It moans, it groans, it splashes and it foams, and it rolls on its weary way.
Doc Watson and Bill Monroe there, and this was what really made the Newport Folk Festival so special, was when people like this could get together, and it was so in front of all of us, of course, and we were just beside ourselves, I suppose, with delight and excitement. And this was what was the hallmark of this festival, especially in Newport in 1963. I want to remind you, you're listening to Royalton Community Radio. My name is Jim Rooney. The name of the program is In It for the Long Run, and I am in it for the long run. It's been over 60 years of music, and I'm right now in 1963 at the Newport Folk Festival, which was just a really wonderful, wonderful event and full of discoveries for all of us who were at it. And of course, one of the great discoveries from many, many people at that festival was Mississippi John Hurt. And this is, of course, one of his famous songs and became the title of a band that John Sebastian, it's called the Coffee Blues, but the key word in it is the Lovin' Spoonful. So let's listen to John Hurt.
Coffee time. I like a certain brand. That's Maxwell House. Just like it says on the can, good to the last drop. And if I can get just a spoonful of Maxwell House, do as much good as 2-3 cups of this other coffee. Thank you. guys. One told me she had moved to Memphis. The other said Leland. I said, I don't care where she moved. I'm going to find her. Good morning, baby. How you do this morning? Well, please, ma'am. Just a loving spoon. Just a loving spoon. Well, I've just got to have my loving. My baby packed a suitcase and she went away. I couldn't let her stay for my loving. My loving spoonful. I just had to have my loving. Good morning, baby. How you do this morning? Well, please, ma'am. Yes, loving. Oh, the preacher in the pulpit, jumping up and down. He laid his Bible down for his loving. Ain't Maxwell's house all right? He just had to have his loving. Good morning, baby. How you do this morning? Well, please, ma'am. Yes, loving. I've done got crazy by my loving. Well, I've just got to have my loving. I'll kill the policeman, knock down the shaft. It's all about my loving. My loving. Well, I've just got to have my loving. Good morning, baby. How you do this morning? Well, please, ma'am.
Brilliant. Mississippi John Hurt there, just as he was at the Newport Folk Festival in 1963. And there was an awful lot of us young people there. And one of them was a new songwriter from Oklahoma. He was in the Army and got stationed in New Jersey and started going over to Greenwich Village and started writing songs and turned out to be one of the best. Now, here's Tom Paxton talking about John Hurt.
Thank you very much.
It was a frosty night, it was beginning to snow, and down the city streets, the wind began to blow. We all came to the cellar, we all emptied the bar, to hear a little old fella play a shiny guitar. Did you hear John Hurt play the Creole bell, the Spanish Fandango, and that he loved so well? Did you love John Hurt? Did you shake his hand? Did you hear him sing his Candyman? On a straight back chair, with his felt hat on, he tickled our fancies with his Avalon. And everybody passing down McDougal Street, we cocked their heads and listened to the tapping feet. Did you hear John Hurt play the Creole bell, Spanish Fandango that he loved so well? Did you love John Hurt? Did you shake his hand? Did you hear him sing his Candyman? Thank you. Now did you hear John Hurt play the Creole bell? The Spanish Fandango that he loves so well. Now did you love John Hurt? Did you shake his hand? Did you hear him sing his Candyman? Or did you hear him sing his Candyman?
Tom Paxton there, did you hear John Hurt? And it was exciting to hear the older performers, but it was also at this festival very exciting to us to hear new songs and new songwriters. And of course, Tom was one of the leading ones. And we were hearing songs for the very first time that you knew as soon as you heard them that they were going to be around for a long time. And this certainly is one of the most important ones.
It's a lesson too late for the learning, made of sand, made of sand. In the wink of an eye, my soul is turning in your hand. In your hand, are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I could have loved you better, didn't mean to be unkind. You know that was the last thing on my mind. You've got reasons aplenty for going. This I know, this I know. For the weeds have been steadily growing. Please don't go, please don't go. Are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I could have loved you better, didn't mean to be unkind. You know that was the last thing on my mind. As I lie in my bed in the morning, without you, without you, each song in my breast dies a morning. Without you, without you. Are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I could have loved you better, didn't mean to be unkind. You know that was the last thing on my mind. That was the last thing on my mind.
Thank you.
Tom Paxton, The Last Thing on My Mind. As I said, as soon as you heard this song, you knew this was a classic song, and it was not going to go away. It was going to be with you for the rest of your life, as it's been with me for, 50 years now? And I've heard it in countless settings. And Tom wasn't the only new writer at this festival. Another was Peter LaFarge, and Peter came from a Native American background, and this is certainly one of the most powerful songs to come out of this time.
Ira Hayes, Ira Hayes. Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey drinking Indian, nor the Marine that went to war. Gather round me, people, and a story I will tell about a brave young Indian you should remember well. From the tribe of Pima Indians, a proud and peaceful band, who farmed the Phoenix Valley in Arizona land. Down their ditches for 1,000 years, the sparkling water rushed, till the white man stole their water rights and the running water hushed. Now Ira's folks were hungry and their farms grew crops of weeds. When war came, he volunteered and forgot the white man's greed. Called him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war. Well, they battled up Iwo Jima Hill, 250 men, but only 27 lived to walk back down again. When the fight was over and Oh Glory raised, among the men who held it high was the Indian Ira Hayes. Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war. Ira Hayes returned a hero, celebrated through the land. He was wined and speeched and honored. Everybody shook his hand. But he's just a Pima Indian. No water, no crops, no chance. At home nobody cared what Ira done, and when do the Indians dance? Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war. Then Ira started drinking hard. Jail often was his home. They let him raise the flag there and lower it as you'd throw a dog a bone. He died drunk early one morning, alone in the land he'd fought to save. 2 inches of water in a lonely ditch was the grave for Ira Hayes. Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war. Yeah, call him drunken Ira Hayes, but his land is still as dry, and his ghost is lying thirsty in the ditch where Ira died.
Peter LaFarge, The Ballad of Ira Hayes, and a serious song, and a song that just went right through you as soon as you heard it. And it was going to be made very popular, well, I use the word popular, well-known by Johnny Cash, who heard it at Newport the following year. So I'm coming down to it here. In 1963, I think anybody would be very aware that the major writer at this festival was Bob Dylan. And his song, Blowin' in the Wind, had been recorded by Peter, Paul, and Mary. And they were just huge at the time, and a good reason why all 18,000 seats at the Newport Folk Festival were full. It was just an amazing time for folk music, and this is the reason.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Isn't how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? Yes, and how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Bob Dylan there with Blowing in the Wind, and Peter Palmieri, of course, sang it at this festival, and I was in the audience, and they called Bob out to join them, and he sang a verse, and this woman in front of me said, "Oh, who is he? He's terrible. He's ruining that song." And I had to tell her, I said, "Actually, that's the fellow who wrote it, and he can do anything he wants with it." And of course, since then, he has. But this is the time when I'd say folk music was really finding its voice as a way of expressing what was starting to really bubble up in the society. Now, the other major figure in Newport at this festival was Joan Baez, and she and Bob were sort of the king and queen at the time, and they were having a bit of a romance as well. And it was all, and since we knew Joan and I'd met Bob Dylan a few times, they were kind of us in a way, and we felt very close to them. And it was pretty wild to see them at the top of this heap. Here's Joan singing, "It Don't Think Twice, It's All Right."
It ain't no use to sit and wonder why. Don't matter anyhow. When the rooster crows at the break of dawn, look out your window and I'll be gone. You're the reason I'm traveling on, but don't think twice, it's all right. Turning on your light, babe. The light I never know. And it ain't no use in turning on your light. I'm on the dark side of the road. Still, I wish there was something you could do or say. Make me want to change my mind and stay. We never did too much talking anyway. Don't think twice, it's all right. And it ain't no use in calling out my name, babe, like you never did before. And it ain't no use in calling out my name. I can't hear you anymore. my soul, but don't think twice, it's all right. I'm going down that long, lonesome road, where I'm bound, I can't tell, but goodbye is too good a word. So I'll just say, fare thee well. I ain't saying you treated me unkind. Could have done better, but I don't mind. You just kind of wasted my precious time. But don't think twice, it's all right.
Joan Baez there with the Bob Dylan song. And as I said, they were definitely the king and queen of this festival. But, and I also said that this was the time when folk music was beginning to find a new voice, and it was starting to address issues in the society, and it was going to get even more relevant than it had been in the past. And I'm leaving this, that festival was closed with the Freedom Singers. Bernice Reagan was one of the main members of this group, young group. And this is the last, this is how the festival closed. They were joined by Bob Dylan and Joan Baez and Pete Seeger and everyone. This recording is the stripped down version of the Freedom Singers. Time has come and gone again, friends, and this is Jim Rooney. I'm in it for the long run, and I hope to see you back here next time on Royalton Community Radio. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll listen to the Freedom Singers as we go out here.